Whenever you two are done vaping, we'll get started.
I'm done.
Pry it from my cold, dead hands.
I mean, I just said whenever you're done.
This wasn't a statement.
We're going to pry it from anywhere.
Pry it from your asshole after I
shove it up there.
Would you, and then you're going to use it after that?
No, I'm going to get
Why
a new
would
one.
You do that?
I wouldn't do that.
That seems unnecessary.
It'd be weird.
I wasn't even trying to take your vape. I said, whenever you're done.
Maybe some people are into that. I don't know.
Now he's putting it in my ass?
He's putting it in your ass.
I mean, Jay's into that.
Jesus. I mean, I was putting it in my ass already, but
I'm just trying to do a
you
favor.
Doing
I'm just
it.
Trying to do a favor
butt
for
chugging
a friend.
Vapes,
you know?
Yeah.
Butt chugging vapes.
That's how they're doing it now.
Yeah,
California.
Totally. It's how the kids are getting away with it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're calling it butt chugging.
Oh my god. So anyway, wow.
And is your
it's been
kid
quite
doing
a week.
It?
How you guys been since last time I saw you?
Surprisingly, exactly the same.
It's nothing's
weird.
Changed.
Nothing.
Yeah, it almost feels like an hour's gone by.
You had some
so
hummus.
Weird. So yeah, it's stellar hummus.
How was your hummus?
Stellar.
Good.
Stellar.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
And those hint of lime chips.
I mean,
blew your mind, huh,
dude?
Change your whole worldview.
It does. It really does.
Yep. You had no idea limes could be so good, and that just a hint of them would suffice.
What if we put more in there?
More than a hint of lime?
That'd be really
a dash
sour.
Of lime.
Oh, wow, Jay! Now you're talking crazy. Oof. Now you're just some kind of weirdo.
Tostitos at me.
They just sell you a bag full of limes. All lime Tostitos. This is just
Make
a bag of limes.
They should sell the powder and the
no,
chips
no,
separate
shouldn't.
So that you can make your... Yes,
you're
they
the exact
should.
Amount that
so
you want.
So you can do your own. Yes.
I like my...
Trademarked,
I like
copyrighted.
My internal organs.
If I've learned anything
if they
from...
they sell flavor separately, like nacho cheese
They should
flavor.
Sell the Doritos dust
no.
separate. Yes!
I would put
if
that
If there's
on
anything
everything.
You should know about the world in 2019, it's that people don't want to do anything. If you sell people chips and then something they got to put on the chips, they're going to be like, fuck that.
Oh, I would love it.
There's a step I have to do before
There's
I can stuff my face with chips.
Oh, no, I'm not about DIY chips, but give me that powder. I'll put it on fucking anything.
Oh, they should. Selling the powder separately as just a thing isn't a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea.
No, because people would do crazy shit with that powder.
Yeah.
They put
problem
it
is you can't just like put the powder on stuff. They get it on there and like
are you
a very
sure? are you sure
they infuse it somehow.
I feel like you're just not trying hard enough.
You would just sprinkle the powder on there and just
yeah.
It's like a cocaine-sized
like
line of powder.
Brandon would be like Winnie the Pooh with a honey pot. Just sticking his hand in.
Just orange hand, orange face. Like.
Oh, my God. I wish I could Photoshop. That would be the thumbnail yeah. for this episode.
Just me with Dorito dust.
Dorito
everywhere.
Dust all over. Good Lord.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
we used to do this, like, well, my mom used to make it when we were kids. She would, like, crush up barbecue chips, right? And she would use it as the breading for chicken.
Oh,
that
was
so
good.
So good.
I've heard people doing that.
Yeah,
I do
it's
that with
amazing.
Just, like, tuna sandwiches. Like, I'll just crush it up into a dough.
Oh, yeah.
Put it on the sandwich before I close it up. Or
kettle cooked, though. You got to do kettle cooked.
I just do whatever.
Well, kettle cooked
free.
Are the way to go in the world
around.
Of chips.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Brandon's can't be. Choosy on his chip.
I just
selection.
Need salty crunchy. That's all I need. Like, I just gotta add that salty crunchy.
Salty crunchy.
Here's the thing. I will often. I mean, chips go with sandwiches. I'm not. Yep. No one's gonna deny that. And I will often take a bite of a sandwich, and then while I'm chewing on said sandwich, put a chip in my mouth. So I'm familiar with what you're saying, Brandon, and I'm totally okay with that. But when someone puts the chips on the sandwich.
Typically, I
it weirds me out a little bit.
Typically,
oh,
I just
so
dip
good.
Them. I just like because it was like a tuna fish sandwich. It's easy to just like dip in chip, like crushed up chips.
Oh, okay.
Throw
so like
throw them right on, like, throw them right on there.
Oh, okay.
I'll take a bite and then
I've actually
smoosh,
never heard of that.
It into that, and so they like stick to it, and then
I don't have a presupposed
it's
opinion
like
on that because I've never actually seen anyone do that.
Well. Come over to my house at like 1 in the morning.
I want to see more horrible things than that, I imagine. Hey, Brandon, I'm here to see your chip maneuver.
Oh, God.
Brandon's
oh, God,
just
oh, no.
Naked, covered in jelly. He's like, oh. Oh, you meant tonight.
I said 1, not 1:30.
Is it chip time? Did I miss chip time? Oh, no.
Yeah, straight jello time. That's why Brandon never has us over.
I
have to hide all the jello.
I hate to. I almost don't even want to go back because I know we talked about Psycho last week. But when we were just talking about jello, it just made me remember. Do you remember the jello line in Psycho?
Vaguely. What is it?
He goes. The Arbogast goes. If it doesn't gel, it's not jello. And this ain't gelling, my friend.
I didn't know that it went back that far.
I did not know that's where the phrase "it doesn't gel" comes from.
Yep,
it's apparently a Jello commercial.
J-E-L-L. It's not even. It's not G-E-L. It's yeah.
Yeah, that's so weird.
How old is Jello?
Old.
Is it old?
It's like seriously.
Way before Bill Cosby started raping women. Way before that.
Gelatin had been around since like the 20s in mass production.
Oh, so not before Bill Cosby was raping women. Sorry. Okay. He's not that old. He's been doing it for a long time.
I mean, yeah, but...
Hundreds of years.
1700s.
He's an immortal.
Oh, my God. He really needs to be put away.
Yeah.
Jesus.
For eternity. They're going to lock him in a coffin and sink him in mercury until Tom Cruise shows up.
No. Terrible idea.
That's The Mummy 2 with Tom Cruise and Bill Cosby. He's not sucking people's blood. He's just roofying women.
Jesus Christ.
That's when they have to stop him. He's going to roofie everyone in the world.
Bring upon a new dark age.
And Tom Cruise has to stop him by becoming a roofier himself.
God, what a piece of shit movie that was. That was like...
I thought you were going to say what a piece of shit Bill Cosby was. But yeah, that movie was worse.
He's a
You're
piece
right.
of shit too, but that movie was real bad.
Bill Cosby is a monster, but that movie is way worse
it was horrible.
Than Bill Cosby. It's the only thing worse than Bill Cosby is that movie.
Trust us. Trust us.
Yeah. Don't watch it. It's worse than
really
Bill
like
Cosby.
It's a war crime. It's not really a movie.
Yeah. That's from now on, that's going to be my comparison for everything.
It's not The Mummy.
It's pretty bad, but it's not as bad as Bill Cosby.
True.
The only thing that is as bad as Bill Cosby is The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
Yes. Not the Brendan Fraser.
No, the Brendan Fraser one's fantastic.
That stays. That
Even
remains.
If you had Bill Cosby in that movie, it would still be better.
I don't know.
Than the one with Tom Cruise.
Wouldn't have aged as well, but...
it depends on what Bill Cosby does in the movie.
Yeah, fair enough.
Depends on what his role
but if
is.
He was Emotep, like...
I'm here for your ass.
I need your organs. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Different movie entirely.
Thanks for taking that ride with us, guys.
You guys have heard all the weird shit about Bill Cosby, right? Other than the raping stuff?
Like what?
How he used to like make people watch him eat and shit like that.
Oh, no.
Oh, what? Yeah. Oh. You really should listen to Joe Rogan. So apparently Bill Cosby, because Joe Rogan had heard about, they're both comedians, so they run in the same circles. Apparently, when Bill Cosby would stay at like hotels, he wanted the entire staff to watch him eat. So they would have like everybody from the doorman up to like the hotel manager come to his room and watch him eat.
That's so weird.
Just because he was in a place of power to do
that. He just had the power to do it.
He wanted to exercise that.
And then he would fuck everybody.
I believe it.
Oh, and he would have the security guy tuck him in.
Really?
Tuck Bill Cosby
That's
in.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He was like...
He had a lot going
like a
on.
He's a madman.
He had a lot going on.
Apparently way worse than we ever thought.
Wow.
I know we let a moth in.
It's Mothra. It's fine.
Mothra. Where are the two women? The two little ladies.
See,
I learned so much about Godzilla.
The cosmos. Yes.
Right? I'm practically a Godzilla fan now.
Mm-hmm. I'll teach you the Mothra song later.
Speaking of Godzilla...
Masuda. Yeah. Well.
Huh? What?
Masuda.
Brandon is just going to sing us the Mothra song now.
Anyways.
I don't know the entire thing.
I just know the entire thing.
Okay.
I know the whole thing, except for the rest of it.
Of course I know the whole thing.
Why are you guys looking at me weird?
Jeez. Worse than Bill Cosby. Okay.
Wow.
Worse than
Get it, Brandon. Get that moth.
That was the
he
worst.
Lost
that
was
the
terrible.
Worst.
Your hands didn't even close.
Dude,
he just waved his arms with open hands,
like
thinking that was going
to
affect them all.
T-Rex trying to swat a fucking fly.
It was pretty bad.
Visual medium. Dave is now swatting under a light at the moth.
This is a really important thing.
He's still swatting.
A lot of us here have ADD.
Now
and
he's
this
on the
so
couch. He's dug into the couch.
If a moth
he's dove across the couch.
Right. Wow.
He certainly doesn't look like a clown.
He's sliding to third.
Slide into that couch like I slide into those DMs.
You guys tipped him off.
We're just doing our jobs. You asked us for a report.
Yeah.
Ah, guys, the worst. Thanks for helping. At least Brandon waved his arm senselessly, Jay. You didn't do shit.
I don't care. It's a
It was a token effort.
Thank you. I appreciate you token.
I was busy commentating.
Yeah, great job.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I needed.
The world needs more of those, Jay.
My moment of need, Jay. Yeah,
the world needs more of those.
Right? Don't have enough of that.
I'm naturally gifted at it. I'm just trying to help the show out. You know, I just do what I do. I'm the voice of the voiceless. I'm the people's champion.
You're not any of those things.
I am.
You're literally not.
Both of those things.
Name one person who's ever called you the voice of the voiceless.
The excellence of execution.
What? That's not even. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean.
I don't either.
Okay. Execution of what?
Of everything.
He's just that good.
Wow. The execution of being the voice of the voiceless, obviously. Yeah. I execute it executionally. Yeah, that's Jay.
100%.
He's the excellent executioner, apparently.
I need to see the bona fides on that one.
I'll bring my credentials.
You got a certification?
Yeah.
There's a plaque on the wall.
Voice of the voiceless.
I need a testimonial that says, a reference that you're the voice of the voiceless.
It's in
they'd be voiceless, so it'd be hard. But yeah. They can send me an email.
I really don't like making them talk when they're voiceless. That's rude, Brandon.
Wow, he's got a point, actually, Brandon.
I'm just trying to verify the facts.
Now you feel like the rude one.
Just trying to verify.
These people are voiceless.
Just trying to verify.
I'm woke over here, and you're not.
Well, I'm based. And we're all stupid pejorative terms that don't really mean shit.
Speaking of being woke.
I'm waiting for the segue.
I had nothing. I was hoping one of you guys would jump in on that.
Oh, I was
today. We're going to talk about a film where we...
Speaking of jumping in...
Wake...
From hyperspace onto a new planet of The Thing! Do it!
We stopped getting into it now. We're just doing it? Is that it?
Let's get into it!
There you go.
Happy?
I feel better now.
Hey, baby, I hear the NAFcast calling with Brandon and Jay and Dave. They may seem a bit confused. Well, maybe... But they got hot takes. And they don't know what to do with all these Democratic candidates. Bernie's running again. Retcons, reboots, and requels. Nobody asked for this.
I figure the audience would appreciate us changing it up a little bit.
People are creatures of habit.
Say the line.
I think you're insulting our audience. I think they're better than that. The six people who still listen to this podcast.
I'm certainly insulting.
I know our whole audience, and I can tell you
that all of those audience members have been insulted by me at one point in time, and will be insulted by me at a point in the future.
Next time you see them,
yes. So,
because they all show up to the most recent wedding or whatever,
and there they will be insulted by me, and that's just kind of how we do.
They should know this by now.
Yeah.
Yes, Jay's the...
Oh, Jay's insulting us.
The executioner of the insults.
Yep.
The insulter of the voiceless.
No,
the people's insulter.
That would just be rude. I don't insult the voiceless.
Before we do get into it, I went out to dinner with some work people, and my dad was there. Oh, and so they was talking about me being... He was like, oh, if you think Dave's a ball buster, and I was like... I'm not a ball. Hold on. I happen to be a very nice person. And then not 5 minutes later, I was busting someone's balls. And I was like, holy shit, I am a ball buster.
Yes, you are.
You look at that.
That's funny.
You are your father's son, Dave.
I'm the nicest ball buster you'll ever meet.
I'll give you that.
Ah, perfect. I'll take it.
But you do bust balls.
I certainly do. That's true. That is true.
It runs the family.
Yep. In a nice way.
Sure.
I bust your balls because I love your balls.
You are a lover of balls, and let it be said.
The people's ball lover.
Let it be said.
There's nothing else that can be said.
You have never not loved balls.
The ball lover of the ballless.
Yeah.
Just got away from me. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for God knows any of this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, and retcons of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, The Thing.
Some things.
And also The Thing. But the first one is actually called The Thing from another world.
Or Another World.
I think it's From Another World.
Okay. Not really important.
Both of which are based off of the book Who Goes There.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, this goes way back.
Apparently.
So next time we got to read the book.
No.
Yes.
No, we don't.
So like we did with Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yep.
You could pretend like you did, and I'll pretend like I did too.
I did read the book. It was in high school.
Yeah. Oh, sure, we did.
It was great.
It was.
There's a monster and...
Speaking of monsters.
Speaking of monsters, what'd you guys think of The Thing?
I had never seen the 82 one.
You guys have never seen either of these, right?
I had never seen either.
No, of course not, no.
No.
And the 82 one is really good. Mm-hmm. As far as a horror movie goes, I don't love horror movies, but it's so well done. Like, it's not just... It's a good, like, suspense thriller too.
Right.
Just happens to be a giant gory alien.
It's not your typical horror movie.
No, no. It's John Carpenter too. Like his stuff's always so like.
It's one of really the good. Few horror movies where they reveal the monster early mm-hmm. and it still works.
But it's yeah. still fucking scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Because if you haven't seen it, in the 1982 version with Kurt Russell, the monster is a shapeshifter. So they reveal the monster within like the first 20 minutes, mm-hmm. but then the monster's appearance constantly changes throughout the movie. And the whole thing about the movie is that anybody could be the monster. Mm-hmm. The monster could have be impersonating any of our cast of characters, mm-hmm. which is really where the suspense comes
yeah,
from.
And the plot, all the performances are really good.
Like, oh, yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jay?
Yeah, the founder could take the shape of anybody, and
the founder. Oh, because Star Trek. Yeah. I got it.
No,
I
was
almost said Star Wars there.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here!
I know, right? In this crowd,
fire.
I like the pod, like is you know pod person dynamic that you had going on. Like you didn't know who was,
mm-hmm.
and it's that's what Brandon and I were saying outside. Like I prefer. I'm not a Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of scary movie person. I'm very much a horror suspense kind of scary movie person.
Like Alien.
Right.
Like Alien. Yeah. Like,
and that's what this was. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was saying the same thing to Christine when we were watching it. It's not like, I mean, there is some gore in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
which is fine. I'm fine with some right. gore.
But it's otherworldly, like.
Right.
Ugh,
the scary part about the movie is the suspense.
Yes.
Now, it's not just like slasher mm-hmm. type shit for
yeah,
no
it's
reason.
How they can't trust each other.
What did you guys think of the original one? From 1950, whatever.
It was a movie from 1951.
It was certainly a product of its time.
It was a movie from 1951.
But that was...
There were parts of it that I liked.
Uh-huh.
Interesting characterizations throughout for a movie from 1951. But I was telling Jay, like, especially in the first scene when they're playing cards, everybody talked with the same accent in the same tone.
Yes.
I couldn't tell who was saying what for a long time in the movie.
It was like Dragnet.
Yes, everybody talked about that.
There's no breaking conversation.
Yeah.
Everybody immediately, as soon as one person's sentence ends, the next person's begins.
It was interesting. It was almost like a play. Like,
well, they
like,
have the same diet. It's the smoke Lucky Strikes. Like the
yeah.
Bah,
yeah.
Bah, 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 bah.
And everybody has that same
dialogue. Listen, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very much a product of
its
time.
I had to have the subtitles on for that one for sure.
I did not, but I do agree with you where...
It was easy to follow.
A lot of the characters, I was like, wait, which guy is that?
Yeah,
is
I don't remember anybody's names.
That's Air Force guy number three?
Yeah. I
okay.
I don't remember anybody's names.
It was the captain.
Yeah.
The love interest.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
My phone.
Is the thing.
Wow.
Burn it. That was weird.
That was bizarre.
Dude, that was creepy, right?
Well, we
I don't know what the... no one even said... No one even activated like a...
So like a hey... Hey, Google?
Yeah, but like...
Thanks. Now my phone goes off. We know how this ends, Dave. You're not allowed to say that on the air, by the way.
Hey, Google.
Stop it. Or he'll make you record over it.
Uh-huh. Oh, because it'll trigger everybody else's
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it totally exactly. did. It stopped the play. Like, when I listened to the episode back, it stopped my playback of it.
Back when Brandon used to listen to episodes. Yeah.
Begging you to listen to the show.
I thought the 50s version was, like I was saying, it's very hard to tell who's who.
Yeah.
You have basically three or four characters that are important to the plot,
uh-huh.
and everybody else is kind of just sure, there sure. to hold like a stick or like mm-hmm. Move a barrel or hammer nails into the door or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there were too many characters.
There were definitely like... Three or four too many people. Yes. They didn't need four or five scientists. They didn't need that
yeah.
many guys. They didn't need five Army guys or Air Force guys.
They needed
three.
Maybe three.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, what I liked about the 80s version is...
It was very, like we said with Jurassic Park, like very clear, here's the people you're starting out with.
Right.
You know they're going to go down one by one, and it's going to be easy to count who's going down. And
everybody had a character.
Everybody was distinct.
It felt like all mm-hmm. the characters were at least a little bit developed. You had mm-hmm. the roller skating chef. You, mm-hmm. you had
the stoner guy.
Yeah, the stoner guy. You had the windows, the
radio guy.
Radio operator. Yeah. You had the... They had the captain, the leader. You had
Wilford Brimley.
Yep. Yeah, you had the scientist and you had the doctor.
Yep.
The only thing is the scientist and the doctor looked a little too similar.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Christine goes, wait, didn't he die? I was like, no, that's the doctor.
Exactly.
This is the
it's
scientist.
Confusing. Yeah.
Yeah, they have slightly different roles.
But they both can do medical stuff, so that's why they
right.
It's confusing.
Right.
Yeah.
But all in all, I didn't think the 50s version was bad. It was just a product of its time.
It's very 1951.
There was some interesting stuff. Listen, a lot like Psycho, There's some stuff where you go, okay, I'm sure that was interesting at the time.
Yes.
Like the fact that the monster was like a plant-based monster.
Yeah.
Which I thought, I actually did think that was interesting. Like it was,
right?
Because you, it's like, oh, huh. What an interesting take on a monster. Like, yeah. It's a plant.
It was growing its spawn to take over the world out of these like plants.
Yeah. By the way, that scientist guy, like, fuck him. Like,
yeah,
this monster
worst.
Is slashing up all of his colleagues, and he's like, I'm going to grow more. No.
Oh, you have to respect
no.
life, and this is a
Stop
scientific opportunity.
Guy. He has gone mad, a scientist. Mm-hmm. Stop him right now.
He's crossed the line.
Yeah, he's got a full-blown case of mad scientist.
Yeah, he was the worst.
He was a shitty guy.
But you need that shitty character to kind of drive the plot a little bit. I mean, the monster didn't have any characterization whatsoever.
No.
No, he's a monster.
Whereas, at least in the 80s version, the monster was...
More of a presence.
Like. Yes, it was... You knew the monster was one of the characters.
Yeah, and that's what
you just didn't know which one.
Freaked you the fuck out the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
In this, the monster was just your typical monster.
Just a 6 foot tall.
He knocked down doors.
Vegetable.
He
had claws.
He lumbered at people, and he hit people with his forearm. That was the thing back in the day.
Yeah.
Like the Frankenstein was always doing the same thing, and people would just get hit with a forearm. Yeah, it was just and then people would go flying.
Like, oh, that strength he has.
Yes.
That's the only thing we can really show because of the time. Like, they can.
Yeah. Because I mean, what else are you gonna do?
They couldn't CG anything.
I loved how they were in the 50s when they were taking any excuse to turn the lights off to make it creepy.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, and shut those lights. I was like, wait, what? Why?
That made no sense.
Don't we want to see?
No.
No, the monster can't see now. Oh, okay.
All right, what about us?
Sure, whatever.
I'll use my flashy camera.
The end bit was interesting, where they electrocuted him.
It was okay.
It was fine. I mean,
it was pretty anticlimactic.
Again, for a movie in the 50s, that was probably electrocute the monster, and that'll be like the big win because they chopped off its hand and it grew back.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, we've got to get him to this one spot.
I know.
One spot on the ground to turn the electricity on, and then now he's off to the side. And
they had to, like,
so the guy throws a piece of rebar at him.
The thing at him.
That was convenient.
And he hopped back on.
It's not really a smart monster, but...
It was the most perfect thing. The guy, like, clangs it at his feet, and the monster jumps perfectly onto where they want him.
Yeah.
Stand in the middle of this hallway on this
Also, board. The monster was, like, a lumbering beast, except for that moment where he, like, skips over the rebar.
Very spry.
Yeah,
very spry.
All of a sudden, yes. Like, oh, the monster does gymnastics. Okay. That's cool.
I mean, I always liked that setting of Antarctica, or in this case, Alaska.
In the original one, it was in,
North Pole or something like
that? It was at the North Pole.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But their base was in Alaska. They'd gone to the North Pole. And in the 80s one, it's in Antarctica,
which is cool.
You know, either one is still cool because it's very secluded.
Completely isolated, yeah.
Right. There's, you're not getting any help.
Mm-hmm.
And I what I did like about the North Pole, which you didn't have in the 80s version, was that they talked about the Russians and how the Russians were, like, all over the pole.
Again, it was very 1951. Yeah. Like, they talked about their time in the war. Like,
yes.
Everybody talked about their
Everybody did. In movies from that time, everybody did
Everybody
that.
Had just come from the
they
war.
They were just
this is
just like the war.
Like, when I was stationed on Okinawa, like, that everybody had that backstory if they were in military. Like,
and you know what? The main character, the captain, and the love interest, the scientist lady.
Yeah.
They had a little thing going on.
Yeah,
I thought that character development was good.
It was very good chemistry.
That was the best part of the movie. That's was the chemistry between those two characters.
Completely honest, it was the best part.
Yes,
it was the best part.
100%.
Yeah. Their two scenes together were really good.
She did really well. Yeah. Her performance was great, and she wasn't your typical 50s woman.
Exactly.
She wore pants.
Mm-hmm.
Which Christine pointed that out. She was like, "Oh, it's a woman in pants."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Oh yeah, you know that's how you know she's empowered.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mess around with her." And then of course. I'm hoping that's not going to come through on the mic.
It's not.
Then she ties him up and starts feeding him drinks.
I don't know what that was about, but I was like, that's cute.
Well, I think it was because, like, she said earlier, like, when he got drunk last time, he was all handsy, so she wouldn't drink with him unless he was tied up.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really tied up.
He was untied.
They talk about it, and then he just, like, pulls the rope out from behind his back, and she doesn't even comment on, like...
It was a huge flirty scene. Like, it was really good, really good.
It was fine. It was just weird how he didn't even make an effort to get out. He was just like, and I'm untied now.
Yeah.
I was like, you should have at least talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been a comment about how you got untied.
I thought there was. No,
she said, how long have you been untied? Yeah. For a while.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, there was.
I must have missed that.
She's like, "Oh, you're no fun." Like,
yeah, it was a quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, their interaction was the best part of the movie. I liked in the beginning where they go and they first find the UFO, and they're like, all right, everybody take up positions. We'll try and sketch out the outline.
They couldn't figure it out from the air. So what they did was on the ground, they had about 12 people stand in this circular crater and stand around the outside to get the shape and the size of it, which was a circle. And it's only then they realized it's a flying saucer.
And as they form the circle,
they do it in T poses.
It's like
they all form around this kumbaya circle. It would hold T poses to be like, oh, we're all in a circle.
And the music.
It
was like, dun, 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 dun.
The most epic surveying music ever. Like,
it was like, oh, it's a circle. And then they're like, oh, we finally did it. We finally found a flying saucer, everybody. Let's blow it up.
Fucking ridiculous.
They used thermite to... Yeah, to
in both movies.
Yep.
There were a couple throwbacks.
It was interesting how in the 80s version, they kind of did the story from the original movie as if like the Norwegians had the story of the original movie was essentially turned into what the Norwegians did in the previous camp. In the 80s version, the Norwegians show up at the American camp shooting at a dog, and you're led to believe that there's been this whole dramatic series of events that happened at the Norwegian camp that resulted in them coming to the American camp.
Dog down for some reason.
Right. And Christine is like, oh, the poor dog.
You're like, no.
And I was like, oh,
no,
you don't remember this movie at all, do you?
You're going to hate the next scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all
the dogs.
The scene where they kill all the dogs is the roughest part of the movie.
So the special effects are so great, too. Those practical effects are unreal.
For the time, they have great practical effects.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. The only effect that really doesn't cut it is when Windows is being eaten, and they got like the rag doll up in the air, and it's clearly a dummy.
Yeah,
that was the only effect that it was like, all right, well, that didn't work. But all the others, especially for that time, and them being all practical effects, were really well done.
Yes,
really like
the tendrils,
the blood jumping out of the blood when they're doing
the test.
And the fucking monster just comes out of that fucking little pool of blood.
Yep. And then the grouchy guy is on the couch because it was his blood, and he just starts like quaking. No. And there's a blank look
those
on his face.
Those transitions of where it's just like the skin melts
and blood pouring out of his face. One of my favorite parts has always been when the head of the guy who was on the operating table
that
separates,
so
grows legs and antenna, and tries to leave the
room. Like, you've got to be fucking
fucking kidding me.
That part is so gnarly.
Yeah.
It's good. Again, I'm not a big horror fan, but I really like this movie. It was good.
Well, it's not your typical horror movie.
Exactly. It's not gory for the sake of being gory. It's well put together.
This has got to be, if not my favorite, quote-unquote, horror movie, top five horror movies for me.
Sure.
It's just done so well.
You can't go wrong with John Carpenter and Kurt Russell.
Like, yeah,
they're a pair, and they usually do stellar work together. Except Escape from LA. But
what's interesting about this movie is like it was critically panned. It did nothing at the box office when it came out.
It was a huge cult hit,
right?
And then it turned into a cult hit, and now it's turned into like, oh yeah, this is one of the best like sci-fi horror movies of all time. But at the time, it was like, what the fuck? This is a piece of shit movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that interesting too. Like times change, and it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's and I didn't even realize when we decided to do this episode that there was a recent remake.
Yeah,
there was in 2011.
I guess not that recent.
It's supposed to be the Norwegian. It's the Norwegian camp.
Oh, it's the Norwegian camp. Oh, so
it's like a 5-minute prequel. You know, leading right into the 80s.
Okay,
one. I heard. They.
Well, we'll have to watch it at some point.
No, I'm all right.
I kind of want to.
All right. All right. It wasn't good, but
we don't necessarily. We only do good movies, Brandon. So that's out.
I mean, if I had a choice,
it's our criteria.
If I had a choice,
I could voice my opinion.
You know what's funny about this podcast, Brandon? You don't have a choice.
Hey, you're right,
Brandon. I can voice your opinion because I'm the voice of the voiceless.
See,
except you said I wasn't, so I'm not going to.
Oh, burn.
Sorry. You needed to see my credentials.
Didn't hitch myself up to
that
voiceless train.
I'm like Jesus, right? Like, you're doubting Thomas, and you can go fuck yourself.
Wow.
Deep cut.
And you can go right to hell.
Wow.
Holy shit. A biblical reference. Thanks, Jay. For our Bible fan listeners.
Way back.
Yeah, we got a lot of listeners who are big Bible fans.
Hey, you know, I was a Catholic at one point.
Do you still consider yourself a Catholic?
No, I consider myself an
idiot.
Agnostic?
I know.
I have no evidence of God. What's the one?
Agnostic, I think.
Yeah.
That's how I consider myself. I will reserve judgment.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Sure.
If you want to believe that, that's fine. That people believe crazier things. There's no evidence for aliens either. I happen to believe in those. But the
I mean, there's probably evidence.
Well, maybe. I don't know. There's no evidence that we know of. There might be evidence for God, too. But we may just not know
it. The burden of proof is on the person proving God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is why I don't think you can you can make decisions based on something you can't prove.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
Like that's why I have problems when it becomes like a public policy issue.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can organize your religion all you want. I don't necessarily love the idea. I think there's better ways to form a community than an organized religion. I do like the communal aspect of it, but when you start being like, well, the Bible says this, so we all have to do it. That's when I'm like, yeah, great, pal. Mm-hmm. Listen,
like I love Lord of the Rings, but I'm not asking for legislation
based on
the Silmarillion.
If we're gonna take up a fantasy book as our
There's definitely better ones.
Like, why don't we just do Star Trek, where it's a goddamn utopia?
It's just Redwall.
Well, because no one has yet to figure out how the economy works in Star Trek. That's why.
That's exactly
that's true.
Fans are debating it
to this money.
Day.
UBI.
fans are debating it to this day.
What about the Ferengi? Shut up. You shut up. You bastard.
Steve Shives did a thing
he
on
tried.
That.
He tried. It was pretty good.
I think he was saying it's UBI and then people just have jobs. But
that's not what they say.
Nope. I know, because they say there's no money.
That goes against all Star Trek canon.
Yep.
So, okay. Well,
it's an interesting take, though.
That's we'll save that for another episode.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll do our fan favorite Star Trek economics episode.
Yeah, we'll do an episode all about Star Trek economics.
Yes.
You guys will love it. It's going to be 3 hours long.
Tune the fuck
I'm going to have graphs.
Oh, my God.
Visual aids.
Fucking PowerPoint.
There's pie charts.
What's the graph going to be, though? Because the money just is a flat line.
That's it. That's the graph.
It's just a flat line of money. It's an Y-axis.
Supply and demand. They're just flat and they overlap. That's it. Perfect economy where no one works, but everyone's rich. That's it.
Hey, utopia.
Except the Ferengi.
Replicators, man.
Yeah, which
part? It's a big part of the theory, but
of course it makes total sense. But then why is there?
Why are there replomats that you have to buy wedding gifts at?
Yeah, why is there anything?
I mean, Cena always cracks me up with her picking out for Keiko's wedding. Remember.
No, I try to zone that episode out.
I mean, it's Data's Day. It's a great episode. Really? You don't like Data's Day?
Any episode with Keiko O'Brien in it.
I'm not a huge Keiko O'Brien fan.
But she plays kind of a bitch.
She's a huge bitch.
She is.
And I'm not saying it's because she's Asian, but that's what Jay always says.
I heard him.
Certainly is.
I don't know why. That's a weird theory to have.
Certainly
but
true.
She's definitely a bitch, whatever the reason. O'Brien could do better, quite frankly. I always felt kind of bad
that.
For
I've
him.
Always thought that.
And she was always getting like possessed or is always like
of course.
Pissed off that he has to work. He's like, he's getting all these promotions. He's bringing home the bacon.
He's bringing home the bacon.
It's because she was a vegetarian or whatever.
Yeah,
she was always cooking weird shit, and it was always
She was the wasn't she in the hydroponics at DS9? Yeah.
Yep. But that always bothered me. Like she lives this lifestyle. She never worked in the beginning until she became the school teacher.
Right. Fucking insufferable.
But and she was always pissed off with O'Brien because he was always working so hard. I was like, what the hell?
I can't catch a break.
Jesus Christ! I mean, it was a prominent Federation, enlisted person who's working his way up the ranks. He's serving the Federation, protecting your safety and the safety of all the Federation citizens. He fought in the Cardassian War.
Yes.
For Christ, put his life on the line.
Those damn Cardies.
No appreciation. Not I would have ditched that bitch. Especially when you move to DS9, there's all these interesting alien races coming through, travelers
from
a different world.
Things could have gotten real interesting.
Quark's bar, like there were some chicks in there, I'll bet.
Yeah.
I would have bailed on that bitch as soon as she went to Bajor.
It's over. Beamer shit down her apartment. And fucking bachelor pack.
All of her shit just materializes in her living room down on Bajor.
That's like a Star Trek ghosting, right? That's how you ghost in Star
That's
Trek.
The Star Trek version of putting your shit out on the lawn.
Just no text, no call, just beam their shit to their apartment.
Oh, I think God. I sent the message. I think they got it.
poor O'Brien. I'll tell you what.
Poor O'Brien.
The only person who had it worse than O'Brien was the black guy in the 82 version of
Keith David?
Of the thing.
Childs?
Childs.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was, although he was kind of a dick too, but
he
like
was.
Everyone...
Everybody was kind of a dick.
There was a rivalry between him and Kurt Russell that didn't make any sense.
It really didn't. They seemed like they would be friends. I don't know why they wouldn't be.
Right? But they didn't like each other.
One guy's the helicopter pilot, one guy's got the flamethrower. I don't know.
Yeah.
That seemed to be his job.
Yeah, it seems like a match made in heaven right there, right?
Exactly, right? How about the scene where the professor is breaking up the radio room?
Oh. What, when Wilford Brimley?
Yes.
The old guy?
Yes. I think that's one of the best scenes in the movie. Where
it is.
He's just like, you don't know what's going on. That thing didn't want to be a dog. Wanted to be us.
And he just fucking shoots all the bullets, then he throws the gun at them.
You guys don't know what's going on. I'm sure some of you do. Someone knows what's going on.
He was the most paranoid, yeah.
The perfect scene of somebody just going off the deep end of paranoia, but well-deserved paranoia.
Oh, yeah.
He runs all the simulations.
He knew what was
probability
going on.
of a teammate being infected
75%. That was so like, hey, here's the information you need, exactly spelled out for you. Just so you know, if it reaches humanity, probability of the entire population of the Earth is whatever. Like,
that's how computers worked in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't using the right syntax.
Yep.
Exactly. Syntax every time.
That's why Kurt Russell gets angry at the chess playing computer.
Cheating bitch.
Cheating bitch.
I like how it was just, it was a chess playing computer.
Exactly.
Like if you're going to buy an arcade game, like Pong, maybe to put in? No, chess. With chess the chess master. On the side, the two knights on the side.
Yep. It was like, a chess computer.
It was a very interesting
it was a very
choice.
80s thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at the time, you didn't have much of a choice.
No, of course not. There weren't really like PCs with like multiple games. At
you know, just get a Pong machine.
Yeah, true.
It was probably, just... that cost them money from Atari. They couldn't.
Yeah,
Pong.
True. Yeah, okay, fair.
And if John Carpenter is one thing, he works with a shoestring budget, like super well.
Yeah, yeah. It was. It worked well though. For what he
good
did,
characterization,
for what he had to work with.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, yeah.
I mean, the special effects, like we talked about, were fantastic. I mean, there were enough explosions, for sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, they saved a lot of them until the end, but that end sequence where they just started blowing shit up.
Blowing every room up, yeah.
I mean, Kurt Russell carries that dynamite for half the movie.
I know.
It's the Chekhov's gun.
It is.
He's got that dynamite. You're like, all right, when's he gonna do it? When's that dynamite going to go off? All right. And then I always like how it's the professor at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Who Blair, who's really like, they put him out in the shed.
And that's probably when he got turned, right?
Yeah, you never really know when he gets turned, but he was clearly on their side before they put him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, somebody went out there and turned him.
Because
then he was, he was the final villain, effectively.
Yes. Or was it Keith David?
Oh, Childs?
Yes, there's always that theory.
Well, that's why it's such a great ending, too.
Because they're like, nope.
And they have the music, bum, bum.
Yep.
Bomb, bomb. Mm-hmm. And it just zooms out, and you see the camp burning.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, and what do? It's just wait a while, see what happens. And they just sit there staring at each other.
Yep. And that's the way it ends.
Yep. So you never really know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fantastic movie.
Just like you never really know if it was Norman's voice or his mother's voice.
I feel like.
Or if the top fell or it didn't fall.
I'm sorry.
Again, but in this version, it's not a plot hole.
No, it's not, because it's
it's just a mystery.
Yes.
Right. Anyway.
It also wasn't that important. But
I mean, if it's the one time you hear a person's voice who's dead, it feels like it's important. Okay, never mind.
Fair enough.
But in this movie, the movie we're talking about this week, Brandon, you know, the good movie.
Oh, yeah.
listen, this movie's not free of plot holes either.
No,
sure. But they do a good job.
They do.
The thing about this movie is
it's so claustrophobic.
The villain is an alien that you don't really. It's a shapeshifter. It clearly has advanced strength and all this, and it can turn into God
kind
knows
of whatever
what
form it wants. Yeah.
They give themselves a lot of leeway to where you just can go, oh, well, that's because it's an alien.
Yeah.
In Psycho, it's a human being, and you know the limitations of what a human being can do, and that's why it seems weird that a man is speaking with a woman's voice. But, okay. We'll agree to disagree.
We'll agree to disagree.
1982 John Carpenter's The Thing is better than the original Psycho.
Wrong.
Oh, right. Absolutely right. Oh, God. I
disagree.
I said it just to get a rise out of you guys, but now that I think about it, I might have to stick with that.
That's fine. I mean, you could stick with wrong.
No, hey, listen.
I would appreciate if you said you enjoyed that more than Psycho, I would respect that.
I did enjoy that more than Psycho. Yeah. And to say it's objectively better is obviously a bullshit statement. But
we'd be here forever.
It's definitely better.
Maybe more fun, because it's more modern-paced with modern people.
I was going to say there's less murder, but that's not true.
No, God, no.
More nihilistic.
Oh, it is totally nihilistic, of course.
I mean, the ending especially, you can't argue. That's pure that's nihilism. And
I mean, in what sense? I mean, nihilism in the sense the that futility nothing matters?
Nothing matters.
Yeah.
That's literally the ending.
Well, I know what you're saying, but I don't know if I'd entirely agree because, I mean, the whole point of the movie is that they're trying to they're sacrificing their own lives. They know they're not going to make it out alive. What matters is that the creature doesn't make it out alive because then it's going to take over the world.
Yeah, so nothing they do matters at that point. They just have to sit there.
But they stopped it.
Yeah, they stopped it. Maybe. But at the end of the movie. Yeah.
I think it does matter, though. It matters hugely. And the fact that you don't know if one of them, I mean, I got to think Kurt Russell isn't the creature, but if Childs is the creature, I mean, it matters immensely, doesn't it? I mean, the fate of the world hinges
yes,
on that.
Yes, but nothing, what I'm saying is nothing that they do. The point of that ending is like, well, let's just sit here and see what happens.
The two of them, you
the
mean?
The two of them. Oh, okay, I'm not saying that the whole movie, whoever the alien is or whoever the alien isn't doesn't matter, or if any of them are.
They both have to
nothing that in that moment, nothing that they do at that time matters. That's the nihilistic part of it. It's just they just have to sit there. You just have to sit there, and what comes may come.
Freeze to death. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally see what you're saying. I don't know if I entirely agree because I mean, if Childs is the alien and then he kills Kurt Russell, I mean that matters. So the actions of Childs at that point matter. If Kurt Russell turns around and finds out Childs is the alien and then kills him, then that
really
matters.
All for nothing.
It was all for nothing.
Well, the whole thing is all for nothing if the alien gets away.
Exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, so that's pretty nihilistic, too.
I guess.
That, like, even though everybody's dead,
even though
we
did this whole struggle,
it could still be Childs because he wasn't with him the whole time.
Yeah. Right.
All of that could be for nothing, and that's why he's like, fuck it, let's just chill here for a little bit.
Which is weird, because, like, you think about it, I mean, Childs is gone for a while.
He is. Oh, he totally
is. He's gone for a long time.
And that's, you know, explicitly, like, he's not in a bunch of scenes for a little
bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thought I saw Blair, went chasing after him, got lost in the storm.
That's fucking suspicious.
You didn't see all the explosions?
Yeah, right.
There's been some explosions.
Could have used your help.
Yeah, it would have been great if you were around. Mm-hmm. But that end scene is great where he's like, how's it coming in there?
Mm-hmm.
I said, how's it coming in?
And then he just turns and he lifts up the dynamite.
Yeah, lifts up the plunger.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the creature comes and steals the plunger.
Yeah.
It's great.
Fucking Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah. The scene with the blood in the fridge. Someone gets the blood.
Oh, yeah.
And like, who has access?
Mm-hmm.
I have the only key. Like, everything that happens makes you start questioning
everybody.
Other mm-hmm. people.
Except Kurt
Windows
Russell.
Goes for the guns.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, is that because he was scared or is that because...
And like, the dog went into Windows... radio room first.
Yeah.
Alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point...
Not even the dog guy was an alien. He was alive.
Exactly.
He was a human.
That was a red herring.
Yep. Well, it wasn't a red herring because it paid off in the end. He gets murdered. Well, they say it's murder. Childs goes, which makes you a murderer. And I was like, that was self-defense.
Yeah, he was going to stab him.
He was going to get stabbed with a scalpel.
Stab him.
Yeah.
Plus, anybody makes a sudden move in that situation. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I mean... frankly, if it were me, I would have shot a lot more people.
We know, Dave. We know.
It would have been... as soon as I got the gun... Was, did you notice how... and it's really interesting because... I don't remember the guy's name, but he's like the chubby guy in the turtleneck. The guy who ends up on the operating table who has the heart attack or whatever and ends up being
an alien.
Was
the doctor. It was the doctor?
No, he wasn't the doctor. The doctor's the guy who tries to defibrillate him and loses his arms because his chest opens into a giant maw of doom.
Such a great
and
scene.
And chews his arms off, which is, another great scene. There's just so many great scenes in this movie. But that guy, when they were talking about how they didn't trust the guy with the gun was the leader, whatever the guy who's in charge of the whole camp.
Like the...
The expedition leader.
Vaguely, military-looking outfit.
He had the same outfit that Brody from Jaws wears.
Sure.
The
tan shirt? Like a tan guy? Yeah.
It was the same thing.
Older guy who looks like he's, senior ranking guy.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So he's got the gun, but then they're all like, oh, you're the only one with the keys to the refrigerator where the blood was that got tampered with. So they all suspect him. So they're like, you know, he says, you know, it wasn't me, but I guess you'd all feel better if somebody else is in charge.
Yeah, and he flips out on them, yeah.
And then he turns to the guy with the turtleneck, and he says, like Jim, I can't imagine anyone objecting to you, because I guess that guy's supposed to be, like, a level-headed dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out he was an alien.
Mm-hmm. From that whole, yeah, from that time on, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we have to assume from that time. Yeah.
You don't know.
There's also, and this is, if I had to have one gripe with the movie, they don't do a great job of showing the passage of time. This is supposed to take place over the course of a few days.
Yeah.
And they mention one thing where Kurt Russell is recording his thing to, he's recording his hidden message. And he's like, you know, the storm rolled in like 48 hours ago or something. And it's supposed to give you this idea that, like,
oh, really?
This has been occurring. This has been going on for a few days.
Yeah, you don't get
better,
that.
Yeah, it could have been better established.
It makes it all seem like it occurs within like 24 hours.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, there was, so everyone's been around camp and doing their thing. And so you get the feeling that anybody could at some point have been turned.
Yeah. Hmm.
And they make that comment about how if just a small particle could do it, everyone should prepare their own food and we should eat out of camp. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things in there that they paid attention to, a lot of the little things.
Yeah.
But they didn't do a great job of because you guys both missed it, of highlighting that they were supposed days and days.
Yeah, no,
passed.
I figured it was fairly quickly.
Everyone's fatigued, no one's sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that, but it all just seems like it occurred very not, quickly.
Yeah.
They could have established that better.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, altogether, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah. The 1951 one, I wouldn't worry about.
I feel
that.
Like we're not talking about the 50s one as much as we could,
it's not,
should.
I mean, it's just, it is what it is. Like, it's not it's not bad.
It certainly wasn't an award winner back then either.
Yeah,
so it's not.
Interesting. It's an interesting look into the kind of suspense horror genre at the time, because, I mean, that's even earlier than Psycho. You're looking at some of your earliest stuff, and it's definitely, I mean, the Geiger counter. I thought the Geiger counter, because we just developed the bomb, and
right,
you know, so they're tracking them with the Geiger counter. It's, you know, it was interesting that they had chosen that method. I think it was,
interesting, actually. Yeah,
as a period piece, I think it works well. I don't think it's a great movie, but I think it's a period piece.
Also, hold on with the Geiger counter, because that reminds me. The first of all, great little set piece thing where it's like
the alien radar.
That's what I was just gonna say.
Totally a proto version of that. Yeah,
but no one. I would almost say the alien radar might have been inspired by that.
Like, a lot of directors have said this movie is an inspiration.
Oh, really?
Including John Carpenter. And
Carpenter. Yeah,
who did Alien? Ridley Scott.
But no one seems to be worried about the Geiger counter. At some point, the guy is like,
I know.
It's off the scale. It's maxed out. And I'd be like, we should get out of here.
We're all dying of
radiation is bad.
Right now.
We're all dying.
I did think of that at a point, too. Yeah.
Because they really probably.
Well, they started low. They did. It was like 0.2, 0.4, 0.6, 1.2.
But then it starts going nuts.
But then it goes nuts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. They probably didn't. Understand the long-term effects of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they understood potential.
It had only been
it.
6 years since the first bomb had dropped. So.
I liked the reporter guy.
Yeah, he was a good. He was a good stand-in. Like, he was kind of the everyman kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was the.
But not quite, because he was also in the war.
Yes. Yeah.
He made a comment about
that. Too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
is
perfect, because at the time, even the everyman was in the war.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You were.
Yeah.
You were of fighting age. You were. Yeah.
Yep. I didn't belong at Okinawa either, but there I was.
He was a spunky character.
I liked him. He was always trying to get the story out.
Mm-hmm.
He was always giving the military guys a hard time, because they were always looking for orders and stuff. I like the radio communications back and forth, where they start with, the general says this, the general says, I like the general, where he's like, close the door!
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's a funny character.
It's a little bit they did.
It's a quirk.
That was comedy back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It had its moments. It had its moments.
Listen, I wouldn't rewatch it tomorrow.
No.
But for what it was, I can appreciate what it inspired. And
John Carpenter did a much better job.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, he did. I was going to say he had a lot more to work with, but I don't even know if that's true. I don't know what the budget on the kind of movie that was in the 50s would have been.
Didn't seem that big.
They had enough for an airplane.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Right? Plenty of airplane shots.
There were plenty of airplanes after World War II that left over.
Yeah,
there.
That's
true.
You'd wonder how much.
I think like a lot of military
lousy with airplanes. Yeah. You could have just gone down to the local corner store.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that an airplane? Well, we got three in the back. We can't get rid of them. I'll tell you what, you buy a pack of smokes, an airplane comes free.
Exactly. But yeah, it was okay. But then the Kurt Russell one was fucking awesome.
Yeah. It was weird in the 50s one, like, the monster was always 5 feet away, and they always knew about it, and no one seemed as panicked as I thought they should be.
They were all, like, smiling in between encounters with the monster.
Yeah!
There was a little, like, so much
he's
joking,
right behind this door!
So much joking around. Meanwhile, people have been murdered, and, like...
But I'll tell you what, maybe that's, you know, you live through World War II.
That's how they get through it, I guess? Sure.
Yeah,
maybe
that might
was
have
more
been
of a natural reaction, I guess. I don't know.
People back then, I mean, they'd all been through something pretty serious where you kind of had to have a little bit of gallows humor,
yeah,
a little bit of laugh
but
off a tough,
like,
situation.
The mood just seemed to be lightened very quickly after...
I mean, I've seen Saving Private Ryan. I get it.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't...
You're an expert in
yeah,
in
it
wartime.
Makes me an expert in warfare.
Yeah. General over here.
I've seen it twice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
Really
see,
are an
so
expert.
I'll take
yeah.
it back.
You are a
thank
content
you.
Expert.
I'll take apologies starting with you.
You got 4 hours of research? Wow.
But no, it's, but I agree entirely. There's yeah. a little, for the tone of the movie.
Yes, for like being stalked by a 7 foot
yeah.
claw monster. Like,
you were just kind of like, huh?
Like, everybody shouldn't be fucking laughing.
But I mean, like, to be fair, how much do we have that in today's, like, Avengers? You're literally, you've got Thanos who's right. going to snap and destroy half the universe
fair
and
enough,
who can crush people's
exactly
heads.
Like
and we're making
movie.
Quips left and right, and it's, you know.
Yeah,
that
but,
is.
But they're superheroes.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
There's a certain, I'm not saying aliens, you know, there's not more of a suspension of disbelief, but like when you're literally taught, these superheroes are effectively gods, you know, a lot of them.
And these guys in the thing from another planet were, or another world were
yeah.
just schmoes. They were
yeah,
just your
true.
Every guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect.
Plus you do
to be
have serious
rattled.
Characters, like Gamora is a very serious yes. character, she doesn't mm-hmm. fuck around. You know, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of jokes, but the jokes are made for the benefit of the audience.
Yes.
Like, even the character, a lot of the characters were funny in the movie. To us, they're not funny to them. Like, Thor's funny to us.
Yes.
Because he's a funny character to us. But Thor's yeah. not funny to Thor. He's not like, yeah. not until Thor 3, actually,
so,
when
yeah,
he does
right
get
rock.
A little bit. But Thor, to him, is just being Thor,
mm-hmm.
you know? The Hulk is funny to us because it's like, oh, the Hulk, that's so crazy.
Yeah, but that was just like... We just locked the door for the monster. What about that pack of smokes? Hey,
yeah.
Jimmy, hey, like, guys,
they light the whole place on
monster.
Fire.
Yeah, exactly.
And in the scene where they do that, where they come up with that plan, and they stick the love interest in the corner, and
with
they're like, here, hold this cushion.
I didn't get that.
I didn't either.
Hold this flammable object.
I didn't get that.
And then it catches fire.
It does.
She's clearly on fire in the one
oh,
cut.
Right.
And then you look back, and like the fire's not nearly as bad in the next cut. And I was like, okay, I hope that was a stunt double, because there's a lot of fire there.
I don't know.
In the next cut, is just the cushion has just got a little bit of fire on it. She
yeah.
throws it off, and she's like, well, thank God I had that fireproof cushion.
I was
like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't understand what that was. I would just put her in the other room.
Yeah. You'd think that they, but you know what? There weren't a lot of safe places where you could be. Although all the scientists were in another room.
There were.
Yeah.
There were very secure locations, and they seemed to know how to wall it off.
Like. Yeah, they did. They did a very good job of barricading a lot of doors, but then they would just be like, oh yeah, the monster's in there. Like, they had the monster in the greenhouse for half the movie, and they were just like, yeah, he's just
it's
in
like
there.
NBD.
Just hanging out.
No one's bothered by it. They're like, what if he gets out? What if this? You know, I'm a little nervous about this
we'll
monster.
Post on the outside and the inside. We'll
yeah.
And then even that, they fuck up.
Like, and then the guard on the outside is like, we're done out here.
Yeah, like, it's too cold. Like,
and then the guys, yeah,
the
captain's like, okay, well, we wouldn't want you to be cold.
Yeah, I know.
Come on in. I was like, what?
I think you guys are underestimating the severity of the situation.
Yeah, no one took this anywhere near as seriously as they should have.
No, no.
They were all excited to be dealing with an alien. They're like, so there's aliens.
They really were.
The only times where they're serious is when they're dealing with the doctor who's growing more aliens.
The bitch, yeah.
They were more upset with the doctor guy than they were with the evil alien that was murdering people.
That's just a vegetable.
They were like,
yeah,
fucking this doctor's a
just
monster. But that monster, he's not so bad.
He's all right. He's just doing what he does.
Yeah, we're not worried about him. Monsters we can handle, but this doctor.
I mean, it's 7 feet tall. Can you miss it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it lumbers.
It was it was interesting. There were parts that
it was good to see the roots, but we were all in it for the
I was curious to see what it was,
yeah.
Knowing that the 1982 version of the thing was made
ostensibly a remake.
After that,
yeah.
I was interested to see where it came from,
yeah.
But as a whole, it wasn't
wildly different.
It wasn't amazing.
Yeah. No, God, no.
Yeah.
I'd go back and watch old King Kong before I watch that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Maybe. Yeah,
better,
probably, I
better
guess.
Better acting, better action. And that was really old.
Yeah.
That's 36.
I don't know. I wouldn't rush to watch either of them, to be honest with you.
Fair enough.
I don't need Claymation King Kong running around. I mean, that's just laughable.
It is, but it's...
I mean, the monster in this wasn't scary, but it wasn't, like, comical. Claymation King Kong is, like, comical.
Yeah, but it's fun.
That's fun. You're right. For just, like, a funny lark, you're right. The King Kong is more entertaining because of how ironically silly it is now.
I hate to say it. This movie was forgettable, the original. It was...
Yes.
Yeah.
It came and it went, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, it definitely was forgettable.
And I'll just move on with my life. Meanwhile, I'd never seen the 82 thing, and I'm glad I finally did.
It needed some Kurt Russell.
It did. What doesn't need these Kurt days? Russell. What doesn't?
Everything could use some Kurt Russell. I'll tell you what. If the 1982 version had two Kurt Russells, it's the only thing that would have made
it
better.
Oh, my God.
Kurt Russell playing against Kurt Russell.
Which one's the real one?
Exactly. You needed that scene. So it's me, like, you idiot. How do I know? I'm drunk. Okay.
Serious, like, face-off scene.
Kurt Russell's character even says it to someone. He's like, I just want to go back to my shack and get drunk.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, that's his character.
It's like he's less grizzled than Snake Plissken, but he's still...
Not by much.
He's not overboard Kurt Russell yet.
I didn't understand why he got his own shack either.
I know.
Everyone else lived in, like, the barracks.
Pilot?
I guess. Maybe that was in his contract. He was like, yeah, I'll work
maybe
at the South Pole.
Maybe he doubled his, like, air traffic control because it was, like, an elevated thing.
Oh, maybe. But that doesn't make any sense because if he's flying the chopper, then shouldn't somebody else be doing the air traffic control?
I don't know, man.
Yeah. And I didn't like how the doctor the scientist didn't send out a message before smashing on the radio gear. Don't you think you'd want to get that out, like a warning, and then you smash the radio?
What are you going to tell him? Don't come here?
Yeah, that's true. It would just make people come to investigate. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, he had to cut it off the head. He had the right idea.
He did have the right idea. He smashed the helicopter and the tractor and everything and the radio. And yeah.
He knew it was up from the minute he figured it out.
That was such a great character.
Mm-hmm. Wilford Brimley.
Yep.
Fucking Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, there were a lot of good characters. That was the thing. You knew all the characters. You knew what their motivations were. They were all memorable enough.
They're
that,
all,
like,
good character actors.
Even Christine at one point, she goes, what happened to the rollerblading cook? Exactly. And then the next shot, there he was. I was like, there he is. She's like, oh, there he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like they tracked everyone's progress. Like, you felt like...
That horror movie arithmetic.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, we've got seven people.
How many people died in the 50s one? Did anyone actually die to the monster?
Yeah. The other scientists, the three scientists that were locked in there,
but off screen.
Slashed. Yeah, they got slashed. Yeah.
They talked about it. They were like, "Oh, they hung the bodies from the rafter."
I don't think, besides those,
you didn't
two,
see an on-screen death.
No,
except for the monster.
Yeah, the doctor gets forearmed.
But then they said he's got a headache and
he's fine.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. And they call him a hero. Did you notice that at the end?
Yeah,
they're like, he got injured while bravely fighting the monster, and then one of the guys in the background goes, "Good for you." Save his reputation.
Yeah, because he was a Nobel Prize winning mad fucking scientist.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but no, I guess those are the only two people that died.
But back then, I mean, 50s, probably not going to show too much.
No, you're never going to see that on screen.
You're not going to see it on screen.
1951, absolutely not.
You telling me there's not a gangster movie back then where somebody gets shot?
Yeah, but not gored by a claw. Like,
oh, that's true. Yeah. I guess that's more bloody, more graphic.
So it had to be done off screen.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to do a vivisection.
No.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly not going to do the thing 1982 where people's heads split.
No.
Giant teeth just coming out.
That would not make it on. Not make it past the censors.
And everyone's reactions were so much more realistic. Like you had people like freezing in terror and freaking out. And in the other and in the 50s one, they were just like, "Well, that was crazy.
I'm gonna go get drunk." Like, what?
Turns out there's aliens, and none of us is even bothered by that.
Susie, want a bone?
Yeah.
There's a monster. Nah, we're fine. We got to board it up. Like, no. The tone was a little weird.
I guess they couldn't throw too much in there that would, like, shock you. They already had a woman wearing pants.
Yeah.
People probably fainted in the theater just from that. The woman have pants on? Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. And she's got a job? Holy shit. Good Lord.
She needs to be in the kitchen.
There was the scene where they're all telling them they should pair off. They're like, "Oh, we've always been saying our captain should settle down."
Oh yeah, and that's the end. That's like the
and she's like, "Oh, would his income support too?"
Yep.
I was like, "Wait a minute! Just because we're settling doesn't mean you have to quit your job."
Not in 1951.
What's happening here?
That was kind of a presupposed.
I guess it was.
1951.
I guess it was. Yeah.
Uh huh.
But they did a good job of making those two characters come alive.
Yes.
They
their performances shown out of everybody.
And they did that well with other characters talking about like their backstory. Like, remember that time in Hawaii and yeah. when he did this and that?
They were kind of cardboard cutouts, but
they were there to support those two characters, yes. which mm-hmm. they did well. Mm-hmm. They served their purpose.
Yes.
But yeah, if you want to watch a movie in black and white about an Air Force pilot hooking up with a scientist, and then and there's also a monster in there somewhere.
Not much.
Go for it, I suppose.
Really, he's not on screen at all. Either.
No, he's not.
No, there's very little on screen monster.
Really,
I feel like
the
there's
end.
Not really much of a threat until he breaks in and there's fire. Like,
yeah,
that's it.
And he picks up that 4x4, and he's like, "I was like,
dude, you're a space alien. Like,
yeah, don't you have giant claws and stuff?
Something else.
You're gonna hit him with
that?
A board.
That was so dumb.
Yeah,
I just and he holds it like not even up, just down.
Just
well,
to his side.
Know
he
he's
was about to forearm somebody.
He's never seen a 4x4 before.
Yeah, he's like, this is their most advanced weaponry. He'll use it against them.
This is how you hold this to the side.
Pew, pew, pew. Oh no, it's not working.
It's a spear. It's a spear.
Exactly.
Well, it's like, I mean, he's a carrot, right? So like you mash him. That's what he's thinking. Oh, that's what he's thinking. Right, he's mashing him with
go.
The flat end.
That was the best part about it. They were like, it was a plant monster, and I was like, okay, that's a take. That's what we're gonna.
I thought it was okay.
No, man, that was the most interesting part.
I think
about
for
him,
yeah,
the
I think
unique.
Plant alien was an interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was from Mars too, like every alien back then was.
Yeah.
They didn't just say it was like, you know, generic little green men. They gave him a little bit of
right.
a biology.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. So they evolved differently, and that's why fire won't hurt them, and this, that, and the other thing. And
did you notice the one send up, like clear send up that I noticed in the 82 one was after the dog scene. And the part of it goes into the ceiling.
Yeah.
You see two claws that look exactly like the three-fingered claws from the original one.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The only like direct connection
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I didn't think of that as a send-up, but I guess, yeah, it could
only
be.
Because I watched them come out to the other.
Part. Right, right.
But
yeah.
Other than that, there weren't too many.
I love the tentacles. Just,
ugh. So gross.
And they just all grab onto the dogs and just, they catch it halfway through transforming. So,
his face splits in three. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty gory, but it's good effects.
What
really
a great
good.
Monster! And like the scariest parts of the monster was when it wasn't being the monster. Those are the scariest parts of the movie.
Yeah,
when you were like, who is it?
That's the most tense parts of the movie.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Christine goes.
I think the one on the ceiling fucking scared the shit out of me, where it's like the head, like it's half the head, and like
oh yeah,
when it comes out of his corpse, basically.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Every appearance of the monster is really well done.
Fucking terrifying.
Yeah, Christine goes when the blood got sabotaged. She goes, scoop it up.
Yeah, right.
I was like, good point. There's a lot of blood there.
Like, still
you
a
could
lot.
Probably save yeah. some of it enough to do but a blood test or something.
They probably mixed up all the different types. Like,
yeah. Wasn't that the whole point that like they were gonna mix the blood and see if it reacted? You could do that with anybody's blood as long as you knew it was real human blood. You didn't have to have their specific blood. I just needed to see.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the refrigerator blood.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Were they doing it to test who was who, or were they doing it to test the blood?
Well, I don't like, think they were going to test.
Get a reaction.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, they were going to test uncontaminated blood versus everyone's blood because there would be some sort of reaction.
Yeah.
That's what I
got.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a fucking scientist. I don't know, guys.
Yeah, fair enough.
I didn't write this shit.
Neither did I.
Well, you should have. You would have made a fortune.
I know.
You were really stupid
not.
To pass
it
on this
flopped.
One, Brandon.
It flopped. Yeah, it made like $19 million.
You got to think it made money now, though.
Oh, over time.
You would imagine right. now. Yeah,
a lot of John Carpenter movies are slow burn payoffs that get better with time.
Well, next week we'll do The Thing, 2011. And Brandon's already, no. What did we decide on next week? Are we going to do The Longest Yard?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Which they are both football movies. I'm not sure what I was thinking of with a soccer movie.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of like The Big Green or something?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, The Big Green.
I don't know. I'll have to look back at that.
Yeah.
But yeah, next week we're in the middle of football season and it's fall time, so we're gonna do a little sports movie for you. It's not baseball, sorry, Brandon.
It's okay.
But
I'll maybe
we'll do what's the one with Vince Vaughn? Not Vince Vaughn. The character's name is Vaughn. Fuck. Charlie
did
Sheen.
A baseball
Major
movie.
League.
Major League. The best that baseball movie.
Took a little route there.
We did
we
a baseball
it.
Movie.
We
already.
Did Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah, we did Angels.
That was for Brandon.
That was for Brandon.
That's a big baseball fan.
You know.
So yeah, we'll do next week. We'll come back with The Longest Yard, the original Burt Reynolds
yes.
one, and the Adam Sandler one.
Oh, fuck me.
Which is going to be great. It's gonna be
I
great.
Liked it. I mean,
I don't know if I've
I
seen
liked
it. Maybe I have. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
You guys have anything else?
No.
Good. All right, guys. Hope you all enjoy your Halloween, and we'll see you next time. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.